Coming up on TMS, Batman would totally eat the Mona Lisa.
Tears for elderly fears?
That guy with speakers lied.
Definitely not Mego. Actually, it's Mego.
Hail Caesar the Fourth.
It was a salad pinata.
Flew the gum across the car.
He needs a Publix defender.
Our parking lot speakers are better than parking lot tacos?
Yeah, there's an extra R in there. Yeah. I like Wario. He's a dick.
Batman in the red hood.
Do you have the complete history of this mannequin?
Are Dave Matthews and his band still a thing?
Or Justin was an oily man? And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If I allow myself to go down into that place, I'll never come back.
You waxed your anus.
The Morning Stream. Batman.
Yeah, you may have noticed a theme there today, a little bit of a theme. I don't know, Brian, if you missed any of this yesterday. Did you miss any of the Batman talk yesterday that was going on?
I missed all of the Batman talk yesterday.
Oh, this was quite the internet sensation for a hot few hours.
I saw Adam West was trending. Is it something related to that?
It is related to that.
Okay.
So I'll tell you the brief story, okay? It turns out some information leaked, or was it not leaked, but... Someone said that while they were working on that Harley Quinn show, which is, you know, it's a little racy, that show. It's not
by all accounts. I hear it's excellent.
I hear it's good,
the
too.
The one that's on HBO Max, right?
Yeah, I definitely want to see it, but I haven't seen it yet. But apparently it's, you know, racy. It's got the swears. They're not afraid to get real violent and gross. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those shows. All right. So it's not your typical DC animation. This one is very adult. And in it, there was meant to be a scene originally. I won't get into too much gritty detail here, but there was a scene where Batman, you know, Bruce Wayne, was going to perform a certain act on Catwoman.
Okay.
All right. And
something related to, I don't know, the cat in Catwoman?
Kind of, sort of. And, yeah. 100%, yes. And so the way the story goes, the way the story was told is, the people who were going, you know, that had put this in there, presented it to...
Let's go into the Batcave.
He presented it to DC, and DC said, whoa, Batman doesn't do that, they said. That was the exact quote, is Batman doesn't do that.
Oh, really? Okay.
And their take was, I think,
no
actually...
No wonder he's an unmarried bachelor.
to me, it rings... I don't think it's that crazy, because basically it's like saying, hey, we're going to put Mickey Mouse in a really, you know, position that nobody's seen him in before. And it's not great. It's not great for selling toys. It's not great for pushing lines that are meant for kids. Like, I understand their reaction. Okay, I get it.
Absolutely. Yes.
But in this case, it's like it became this immediate meme that Batman would never do that. So that audio I played for you that was Batman, I'm going to play it one more time.
But if I do that... If I allow myself to go down into that place, I'll never come back.
That's from the Red Hood animated series, DC thing. And that was posted by the DC animated official account. So Warner Brothers is basically leaning into it, you know, a little bit.
Yes.
And there was just nonstop talk all day and jokes and memes about Batman, what he would or wouldn't do. Why Bruce Wayne's such a selfish lover, these sorts of things.
Right.
And so I couldn't help it today. I couldn't help do that.
Oh, that's a hilarious one. Yeah, that's a great... Now that I know the context, that quote's hilarious.
Yeah, that quote's great. And, of course, you know, Fletcher with his Batman, I had to put that in there as well.
Batman!
Anyway, so now we've done it. We've talked about it, and we're moving on. But it was never-ending. It just went on and on. In fact, I'm sure it'll happen more today, but... If you, Brian, start noticing on Twitter or other social channels that that's still a thing, you'll know why now.
Yeah, I got burned because I saw, Ripley is trending. Oh, maybe they're announcing a new Ripley movie or something like that. And it was just people basically talking about, you know, you've got, you're in danger. You've got one of these four women to save you, and it's Black Widow. Who else? Let's see. Oh my God. Why can't I remember the other?
One of them's Ripley, right?
One of them's Ripley, right? Ripley. Oh, Sarah Connor. Okay. And can't remember. I think the fourth one was Mila Jovovich's character from Resident Evil, if I remember correctly.
Okay. I'd take Ripley.
I'd take Ripley too. Yeah. You know, if your name is not John Connor, you're not getting any help from Sarah. That's it.
I would totally take her. Dice Tomato said she's a company woman. No, she's not. She freaking hates the company. She fights the company.
Yeah, exactly.
She's not into it.
As we saw recently in our rewatching of Alien.
Yeah.
If people would have listened to Ripley right at the beginning, nothing bad would have happened.
Yeah, that review that lady gave out was great. It was, that's a movie about a smart lady that no one listened to, and the only person that survived is the smart lady.
Right, yes, exactly.
Think of that. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, I'd take that.
If we break quarantine, we could all die.
Well, I'll tell you what, it had a weird knock-on effect, because I went and read, I'm reading this White Knight series on the DC app, so it's a Batman series. And now this is just, like, last night, I'm like, oh, I can't look at you, Batman, I can't look at you. You're just, you're over here on the screen acting all serious, but all I can think about is you and your Catwoman problem. That's all I could think about while I was reading that comic. So, internet, cut it out. Let's quit talking about Batman. Let's move on. All right. Let's move the hell on.
Let's move on. Move on.
All right. Couple recommendations, or one anyway. We went to the Asian store and bought... I was going to bring it down here and I forgot. We bought this Korean barbecue seaweed strips. That's the best way I can describe it. It's all in Korean on there, so I don't know what they actually call it. But it looks like... Oh, do I have it here? Dang it, I don't. I do. All right. I have a package that I ate.
Okay. All right. Oh, so it's like a dried snack.
Yeah, like a dried snack. You've seen these before in other kinds.
I've gotten seaweed. I think I've got one right here, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yeah, you got one there. Look at us with the seaweed handy. The handy seaweed.
Yep.
It does say crispy sea snack.
The stuff I really like is the Trader Joe's organic with sea salt.
Oh, those are good. Yes, we have some of those as well. So we get these from this place. They're supposed to be legit, like, from Korea. I don't know if they really are. Who the frick knows? You put a few Korean characters on there and I'm supposed to believe you, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's from Korea, Scott, because of the letter K in front of the letters BBQ.
There you go.
KBBQ.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, these are really good. Super good, flavory, tastes like Korean barbecue. It's a good thing I'm not crazy, or I'd just eat them all day and then I'd have the runs for a week. But they're really good. So I just wanted to recommend them. If you have an Asian market near you, this is called, the brand is Wang Korea.
Everybody Wang Korea tonight.
Yeah, everybody Wang Korea tonight and eat some barbecue, crispy sea snack, Korean barbecue flavored seaweed. Yep. It's very good.
All right. Sounds good.
Highly recommend it. So there's that. I put that back in the trash where it belongs. I fished that out of the trash. It's not something I'm used to doing.
It was on top.
Now, secondly, if I told you that my wife and I had a bad incident last night involving a pillow and salad, what would you think? What would you say when I say that?
Oh, no. Are you saying that Kim tossed your salad?
I was afraid it would go there, but no, it didn't happen. Here's what happened.
Okay.
So Kim's on the phone with my daughter, Taylor, talking about plans for the weekend or something. They're going to do another trip to the farmer's market or something like that. I don't know what it was, I'm outside. The sun is now no longer, the backyard is shaded and it's awesome. I'm sitting in one of those Adirondack chairs and just chilling. It's hot out, but it's not, you know, we're out of the sun. And so I'm like, I'm eating out here tonight. And Kim made this amazing, like, chili stuff. And a big, beautiful salad full of all sorts of crazy greens, which I'm a huge fan of, all the mixed greens. I like that. Mm-hmm. And so we're outside. And I got the bowl over here on the arm rest of chili thing. And then over here on my leg, I have my salad sitting there.
Okay.
Okay, and a fork in there. And I'm sort of going back and forth. And Carter's sitting in the chair next to me, and we're chatting. And dogs are out and they're just laying and chewing their toys and stuff. It's just a perfect, serene, nice night. You know, I'm done with Resident Evil. I can just, like, relax with my family.
nothing to worry about on the horizon.
Yeah. And I haven't eaten, you know, for a while, so I'm starving. So it's just perfect. It's just this perfect moment. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my wife, who's still on the phone, with her left hand, which means it's not the coordinated hand. She's a right-hander. She takes a whole pillow, like one of the outside throw pillows style pillows, which are kind of big and thick. They're like a hard, like the outside of those pillows are almost like, I don't know, like camping fabric because they're outdoor pillows.
Yeah, right, because they have to be weather resistant and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Right. She takes this thing, and for some reason, which I now know what it was. She was aiming it at the dog because she's mad at the Rainer for begging. And I didn't even see Rainer begging. Okay. I didn't see her. So she takes this pillow and just left hand lobs it and misses the dog completely, hits me at full force, and this salad explodes all over me, ranch dressing everywhere.
Oh, no.
Now all three dogs are running around trying to get fragments, you know?
Like, yeah, the begging paid off for them.
It did. It actually did. The time they just waited me out and it worked.
Yeah.
But I got like dressing all over me, lettuce everywhere. Carter was like flabbergasted. She couldn't believe what she was seeing. And now Kim is trying to still have a phone conversation and be all serious face over there, even though she had done what she had done. But she can't help but start cracking up. And I'm just annoyed. I'm just covered in stuff.
Yeah, your salad's gone.
Yeah, my salad's gone. My salad's gone. And then Ripley's licking my pants. That's no good. She's a Weimaraner. She's giant. She's got a tongue the size of a human head. So anyway, I guess the point is, I don't know what the lesson here is. It's just don't let your wife throw pillows at things. I don't know.
I guess.
What's the takeaway? What would you have done? Tina tosses this pillow. Throw salad all over you. Do you laugh? Do you get mad? What do you do?
Obviously, I mean, it's me. Come on. Of course I laugh. but it'll be preceded by a few expletives and a look at her while she's on the phone with one of these.
Yeah, like, what was that? What are you doing? Which is what I did. I was looking at her going, really? Yeah. Are we really? What happened? Like,
but then I'll laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, then you'll laugh it off. Well, that's what I did. So I guess it all went the way it was supposed to.
Man, yeah. We don't really, I mean, I guess Daisy begs sometimes, but she really just, she waits until we're done eating, and then she just scours the floor of the kitchen at the table where we eat and never finds anything.
Yeah.
She found something once, maybe 5 years ago, and ever since then thinks, oh, this will be the day. This will be the day that I find something on the floor that I can eat. But, she's not much of a beggar. She's a scavenger.
Oh, scavenging and begging, very different. There's a good line.
Very different things, exactly.
So I feel like part of this, the look in her face was almost like all those times you pulled my emergency brake when I told you not to, and I'm getting you back for that.
This is her way of getting back. Now, good thing it was the salad and not the chili, though, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Like, I was grateful for that. Like, there was a silver lining. I was like, well, this could be on my lap instead of this. But then again, I got like, you know, oily milk freaking.
Yeah, ranch dressing isn't.
But they were shitty shorts, so it's not that big a deal. Like, it was fine. It was fine. So it's all okay in the end.
Just wash them.
Here's the other thing, though. Yeah. I've never told anyone this, I don't think. I may bring it up again on Skim, but she has this thing she does with me that I think is more annoying than all the things I've ever done to her, which is in the car, if she's driving or not, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. She could be driving. I could be driving. She could be in the passenger seat. Doesn't matter. As long as she is, the only thing that where it would be weird is she was in the back seat, but she's never back there. So here's what she does. She will be chewing gum. Mm-hmm. Gum will be getting old. We'll be flinging down some highway, whatever. And she'll roll down my window. My window.
Your window.
My window. Well,
which makes
sense.
Okay.
Okay. So mine across, way across from her where I am.
Yes. Yes.
She'll roll down that window. And then she'll go and spit her gum right past my eyeballs, just like this way.
Is she driving in the right lane?
Good question.
Because in other words, like if she were to roll down her window, if she's in the right lane and she rolls down her window and throws the gum out, there's the chance that it's going to kind of fly up and hit the car behind her, hit the car next to her, that sort of thing.
Right.
But if she's in the right lane and she does that, then it goes onto the side of the road and not a big deal.
Not a big deal, right? And she's, I wish I could say, I don't know if gum is very biodegradable or not, but, you know, putting aside
the stories we learned in middle school are correct, seven years is how long gum lasts before it dissolves and biodegrades.
even in a
at least in your stomach.
Yeah, in your acidic stomach, somehow it lasts 7 years. Imagine in a open air. Who knows? I guess not, and it's probably littering. I'm not here to judge her for that. What I'm judging her for is spitting a piece of gum inches from my face while the wind rushes by. Who knows what that wind's going to do?
Right.
Here's her reasoning.
It's a drop of water on Jeff Goldblum's hand is what it is. I mean, that thing could go any direction.
Exactly. Now, here's what she says is her reason for doing it. She says she does it for two reasons. One, if she went her side, there's a better chance of it blowing back because it's just right there where the window is. And at least with my, with the distance, she, and her theory is she has more momentum on the gum. So the gum's not going to
whip. I disagree
back.
With that. I feel like
I completely disagree. Completely.
It loses, it's losing momentum every second that, or every millisecond that it's traveling. It's not gaining momentum. It's losing momentum.
Right.
Because
it's not
going to
hit. Exactly. Yeah. It's not going to hit like freaking terminal velocity because she's across from me. It's not going to happen.
Exactly. Yes.
So anyway, that's number one. Number two, she just likes to annoy me. And that's her way. So I guess what I'm saying is, should I feel so bad about the emergency brake pop noise thing? No.
Nope. Probably not.
Not after this. Yeah, plus aerosol droplets. I'm not worried. Kim and I live together. I'm not worried about that. If she if during this whole COVID thing,
if it was
COVID,
an issue for these two, then it would have reared its ugly head a long time ago.
Oh yeah. We'll share in whatever disease is floating around. It's fine. And we'll
if she had buffalo wing sauce on her fingers though, would you lick it off?
Oh, you want an honest answer?
Yes.
I wonder what circumstance would I want to do that? I don't think so. I don't think I could. I can't do that. Anyone's hand. Like even like little, when my kids were tiny, like little babies, they're just perfect little beans of humanity. And you can just like, you know, one of their hands is in your mouth. You play a game with them, you know, whatever. Big deal.
Yeah,
kids'
course,
fingers, whatever.
Course.
But even then, the minute you put barbecue sauce on their hand, I don't think I can do that either, dude.
Wow.
I can't even lick my own. I can't even lick my own.
I know. That's the thing. I mean, I guess it's, you licked your own before you licked hers, probably.
I don't think I could do it. Is anyone else there like me that way? There's got to be someone else. It can't just be me that's weird about that, right?
I'm sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's going to be people out there.
I don't even know why it's gross. I don't even think it's that gross. I don't know why I don't like it. Like, is it a texture thing? Is it the fingers are? I don't know.
So there's a this will have a little bit of story setup, but I finished doing all of the 8mm films that to get ready for this weekend, the family reunion weekend. I've got a whole folder full of videos that I need to move over to my laptop so that I can show them on the big TV that we have at our Airbnb. I've moved on to doing cassettes for my mom because I still have a video converter set up here.
Yeah.
So I'm going through and finding, like, she basically has a bunch of old Carnival Cruise videos. One of them has me doing karaoke in 1991.
Mm. Oh my gosh.
I've got to find.
That's crazy. Wow. Wow.
And have not found it yet. I'm crossing my fingers that I can find it.
That's great. I need to do Shout
by not the Isley Brothers version, but the Otis Day and the Nights version from Animal House.
Wait, the song. Shout. No, Shout.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. A little bit louder now. A little bit louder now.
That one. It's not the same shout I grew up with. Yeah.
As opposed to Tears for Fears, right. which have been really popular on a cruise ship full of the elderly.
I can't even picture it.
These are all the things I could do without. Come on. I did the Avenged Sevenfold version or whoever. I know there's somebody heavy that does a cover of it. Anyway, so I'm going through these tapes. One of these tapes, my mom used to work for a travel agency.
Yeah.
And that's actually how we went on a couple of these cruises, got really good deals. And but one of the tapes that I recorded was a promotional tape for the Carnival Ecstasy, I think is what it's called. And this thing is 1987, 88. Oh, it was Disturbed. Okay, I was thinking it was Disturbed.
Oh, yeah, Shout did Disturb. Disturbed did Shout.
Disturbed did do Shout, right. Yeah. Anyway, so like late 80s, And this tape is as 80s as hell. It is like a promo video that you would show somebody to entice them to come on the cruise. But only travel agents would have this. They, you know, would say, well, you know, there's always a cruise if you'd like to kind of get out and see the world, but only the places close to water. And you'd like to live on a big floating hotel with Legionnaire's disease. This is the travel option for you.
Sure. That sounds all right.
So it's this couple, and it's the absolute cheeseballiest tropey couple of like, oh, that's your fourth dessert, Hal. You know, and you know, she's like getting on his case. But he's, you know, everything's interspersed with, and on this ship, you've got these lovely amenities. And look, it's midnight buffet. And then it cuts to them at the midnight buffet. Oh, I think I'll have another one of those. And he's licking his finger, like he's grabbing stuff from the buffet.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know, oh, it's a piece of pie, and he's grabbing it, and like, oh, got pie on my finger. That's really good. And licks his finger again, and goes back in for crab legs or something. I'm like,
horrible. That's horrible.
Yeah.
See, okay. While you were telling that, that's a great story. It made me think of what circumstance I would.
Oh, what circumstance you'd lick hot buffalo sauce off of Kim's finger?
Yes. Well, sort of. If it was a mannequin that I knew complete history of, in other words, let's say a brand new manufactured mannequin, cleaned, dip its hand in the sauce, I could lick that off there without feeling too weird about it.
Whatever. It's like you're licking it off a plate. It's a piece of plastic that.
Right. That's about it. That's all I can do. If that's in the shape of the hand.
A fake finger.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why I can't do it. I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah. What if it was Kim Cattrall?
Still, I wouldn't. From Mannequin?
What if she was Mannequin?
She built this city. I always think of that movie.
Close. Right group, wrong song.
Wait, hold on. It's the other one.
Nothing's going to stop us now. If you have a world that's full of lovers, we'll still have each other. Anyway. Yeah, Red Fraggle. Amy says, yeah, that's just a chopstick, Scott. Basically.
Yeah, exactly, no, that's right. A fair point. I guess I'll have to think about this more. I don't know.
When are we watching Mannequin for Film Sack?
Oh my lord.
That's a movie that I think if the people around me that I went and saw it with weren't enjoying it so much, I might have walked out of.
Oh, that you had that bad of a time.
Such a dumb movie. It's super I feel dumb. So bad for James Spader and Andrew McCarthy.
Kim Cattrall. Yeah. I feel bad for all of them. Everybody involved in that. Yeah. It's a terrible movie.
I feel just as bad for, see, Andrew McCarthy, man, for as many good things as he did. You know, your St. Elmo's Fires and your Less Than Zero. Was he in Less Than Zero?
I don't know.
No, is that just Downey Jr. and James Spader? Pretty in Pink, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Who was in Soul Man? Is that him in Soul Man?
No, it's C. Thomas Howell.
Oh, Soul Man was difficult. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, Weekend at Bernie's, Mannequin, we really for a while there with, 80s comedy just gave up, right? Mm-hmm. Just decided to pander to the lowest common denominator.
Yeah. And chat, we're sorry. We are saying Cattrall. We mean Cattrall. We get it. We know it's Cattrall.
Kim Cattrall. Yeah. Oh, Amy, he was in Less Than Zero. So wait, it was Jamie Gertz, right? So it was Jamie Gertz, Robert Downey Jr. And James Spader was the drug dealer.
I don't remember this at all. Why don't I remember this? Less Than Zero movie. Less Than Zero? Is that right?
Less Than Zero.
1987. Yeah. Okay. I can't believe I've never heard of this.
It's like if John Hughes decided to do an after school special.
It's
written after a book, and it's a really good book apparently, by Bret Easton Ellis. I've never read the book, but Tina did. She loves this movie. It's also the movie that gave us Going Back to Cali. I think was a soundtrack feature.
Oh. Anthony Kiedis and Flea are in that.
Of course they are. Probably as drug dealers.
Yeah, they are. Well, no, it says they're bandmates, but some fake band.
Yeah.
So there's that. All right. Well, What a that sounds terrible. I don't want to see that ever. I don't want to see that.
So Squid's Mixtape, are you thinking about Saved by Zero by The Fix? Because this movie was named after the Elvis Costello song Less Than Zero.
Oh.
I don't believe it has,
that guy. Yeah.
That guy, yes. I don't believe there's any connection to The Fix.
No.
But the unless it like they said Saved by Zero as an alternative. Maybe they did.
Yeah, you
Perhaps
never know.
They did.
You never know.
All but right. there have been a lot of movies named after Elvis Costello songs, haven't there?
Have they?
Less Than Zero.
Deep Impact.
I mean, I came up with I had a whole, I guess the connection that was, there was Elvis Costello songs that were also movies.
I said Deep Impact, but I know that's not true. Let's see. He did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Hazy Shade of Winter by the Bangles was on that soundtrack, too.
Oh, I like that song.
Mm-hmm.
That might be my favorite Bengals song. The rest of it was too commercial. I really like that song, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good. All right. Well, enough of that. Let's do this.
Lemonade, seriously, if you've ever heard Elvis Costello talk, he says Elvis Costello is one of those fake voice effects that grate on me.
What?
If you've ever heard Elvis Costello talk, you'd know that that's not, there's nothing fake about that voice. That is.
Fake vocal effects? What is he talking about?
His fake voice effects. Like, basically, he does an affectation with his voice that is is fake. You know, I'd say
it's just his voice.
Dave Matthews is the biggest offender of fake voice affectation.
What does he do?
He wakes up in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Goes to work and it's inbound home. Hi, I'm Dave Matthews. And he'll never does offering. I 100% agree, Lennon. 100% disagree, Lennonade, that he lays it on thick.
I don't think he lays it on thick at all. I think it's just his voice.
It is genuine, but it's a, you know, if you don't like his voice, you don't like his voice.
That's, yeah, it's what makes him Elvis Costello, though. That's his
exactly.
voice.
Exactly.
Yep. The Dave Matthews thing is great. I haven't thought about him in a long time. Are they still a band? Him and his band? Are they?
I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think so.
All right. I feel like that's. I feel like that ended in the 90s, but I guess not. Dave Matthews Band, here they are, still rocking it. It says in the 2010s, we got the, what was their last album? Okay, we got, it doesn't say. Okay. Oh, 2018, there was an album, Come Tomorrow, and before that, Away from the World in 2012. So it's been, you know, spotty. I still think of, anytime you say Dave Matthews, I think of Jeremy Piven. I don't know why.
Mm.
I connect those two guys every time.
Yeah, you know what? Because they look alike.
Yeah.
Now that you say
that. Might
that. Yeah,
that might be it.
Yeah, for sure.
I just think of Jeremy Piven, and when I see Jeremy Piven, I think of Dave Matthews. That's just the way it is.
Wow. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I'm not wrong. All right. Check this out.
Yes.
Time for the news, brought to you by...
Brought to you by the Hit Me One More Time podcast. Now listen, this is a podcast that was put together by David Luzetter, who was the winner of season 2 of America's Next Top Podcaster. Sorry, Bobby Franks, who's in the chat room. This is Nick Smuxness? Sir Muxness? I'm sure I'm getting that wrong. And David Luzader. Basically, they have a guest on every time to talk about something from the past that that their guest really loves and knows a lot about to see if it still holds up. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on the website. Hit Me One More Time. I was on episode 52 to talk about Micronauts because I love Micronauts.
Yeah. You've talked about that before, your favorite toy growing up.
Favorite toy line growing up and talking about it with them reminded me about all the comic books, the Marvel comics for a while, the toys when they came back out from Palisades. And you know, this was a thing that and I can't remember the company. Was it Mattel? I can't remember who made them, but
might have been
Hasbro.
Was it Hasbro?
Is that right?
I don't know. Galoob? Was it Galoob?
It's the company that has G.I. Joe as well and Rom the Space Knight and...
Well, definitely not Mego chat room. That's not it. Hold on, Micronauts.
Might be Mego, actually, now that I see Mego.
Is it Mego?
Yeah. And basically, they went up and snatched up every license to sci-fi TV movies that they could get, and they missed out on Star Wars. And that was the thing, the one thing that if they would have gotten, then all this stuff would have still survived. But they got completely flattened. And
oh, it is Mego. Okay.
It is Mego. Yeah.
I had no idea. That seemed wrong to me, but whatever.
Yep. Anyway, so episode 52 is my episode, so go check it out. Hit Me One More Time, the podcast from David Luzader and Nick Sirmuxness.
There you go. He's a Harry Potter character or something.
he's a Harry Potter curse.
Yep, there you go. They've done Mystery Men, Twinkies, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, Courage the Cowardly Dog. I mean, it's all over the place.
Yeah. Sometimes it's comic books, sometimes it's movies, sometimes it's toys.
It's great.
And years ago, I like years and years and years ago, I got on eBay and bought a big box. It was like basically a lot of miscellaneous Micronauts pieces.
Oh, wow.
And got this thing, laid them all out on the table. And from that $20, $30 box, yeah, I was able to put together about 8 complete toys.
Wow. You still have them?
I do still have them. Yeah. Yeah. Because my original box got thrown away when I went to college.
Oh, college.
My parents threw them. My
parental threw them stuff, throw away college stuff. I hate that. Everyone's got a story like that. I hate it. My Mad magazines. Oh,
yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah.
I had so many and they were all whatever. Now I don't want to think about it.
Yeah. Don't think about it, Scott. Forget about it. Just move on. Move on.
Gonna check eBay later for Mad magazines. All right.
There you go.
Well done.
Yours might be up there.
They might be up there. Yeah. Someone else is selling my shit. Bastards. All right, check this out. A Publix customer. You don't have those. That's a South
thing.
We
do not have Publix, yeah.
Yeah, the Southern deal.
Publix.
Publix. A puppet of the pubics. Anyway. Publix customers hit man with boxes and sausages after he stabbed an employee. Look at that. Look at the crowdsourced redemption happening there.
Right. So much stuff. Publix customers hit man with boxes. Like it was a group of customers hit man with boxes of sausages.
Yep.
After he stabs an employee.
This happened in North Miami, Florida.
There you go. All right. Next story.
At the supermarket, they hit a man on the head with a box of sausages after he. Oh, it was boxes of sausages, not boxes and. Okay. After he allegedly stabbed an employee in the neck multiple times. Jeez. Alan Pierre Luis, age 32, from Miami, Florida, allegedly waited outside of the public supermarket located on a certain place.
His name was not Jimmy Dean? Damn. Nope, I'm
not
really
Jimmy
bummed.
Dean. Trying to get revenge for the off-brand they're carrying.
Right.
Let's see. On Tuesday, for more than an hour, while they waited for employees to arrive from work, according to the North Miami Police Department. The police alleged that Pierre Luis, then spotted the victim in the meat department located in the back of the store, quickly walked over to him carrying a yellow towel and a large knife and went, got him in the neck.
Jeez.
And then some early morning customers were like, not on our watch. And they,
yeah, not while we've got these boxes of sausages.
That's right. They're frozen. Take that, you bastard. And they fought him off. And the good news is the victim is doing okay and will recover from their stabbage. That's pretty rough, though. You don't want to get stabbed because, you know, you hit arteries and stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned.
That's a guy that I wouldn't want to meet in a supermarket.
No. Meet in the meat department. I don't want to meet.
Thank you very much. Thank you. You got that.
Yeah, yes. I got it. That's pretty good. Oh, Bobby Franks used to work at a Publix when he was in school. Let's see what he says about it. He says, has a great story about a Publix manager who ran down a guy trying to steal crab legs. Chased him and tackled him down on the street, and after getting a ride on the back of a pickup truck from some rednecks that were parked in front of the store. Bobby, why don't you just send our news in, and we'll just read your news. Let's do that. Mm. Bobby Franks.
If only.
Florida news. No, he's not in Florida. He's in North Carolina. South Carolina.
Right. South Carolina.
Yeah. The dumber one. Just kidding. That's terrible to say. I say that because I have 2 friends that live there, and I'm giving them a hard time. Plus, Chad.
Yes.
Chad, you're listening. You know, it's just fun. It's a fun little poke.
Bobby agrees. He says
it is.
It is, yeah.
All right. I kid.
Where's Duke? Uh-huh. There's your answer.
A man with 39 rhymes with knives, wives. There's no good transition.
Nice segue. Nice segue.
A man with 39 wives, head of the world's largest family in the world, died in India. He's an Indian guy.
Oh.
Yeah. 76-year-old man had 39 wives, 94 children, and was said to be the head of the world's largest family, died in the northeast side of India, according to
probably
the chief
minister. Exhaustion.
Yeah, I would, I mean, 94 kids. I don't know how much contact you have with them, but holy
I bet
crap.
He does what Batman doesn't.
I'll tell you what. Although 39, you don't even have enough days of the month to have everyone get their own day.
Right. Yeah. No, this is... This was the big love series. This was the big love pitch that didn't work.
Well, that show was good. Ziana Chana, the head of the local Christian sect there that allows for polygamy, died on Sunday. Zoramthenga, the chief minister of Mizoram, and also who goes by one name, said in a tweet. Okay, so this Mizoram person is called just Mizoram. Anyway, with a total of 167 members of the family is the world's largest, according to local media, although this depends on whether you count the grandchildren, of which he has 33. Jeez.
Wow.
Why wouldn't you count the grandkids? You may as well put them in there.
Yeah.
And count the whole
depends
deal.
Depends on if you count the grandchildren as part of the family.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if they're all living in the same compound. I think you count everybody.
Yeah. Jeez.
Hold on. We have a visitor. Let's see what we got here. Hold on.
Okay.
Speaking of little grandchildren, come here, buddy.
Aw, let's see how much hair he has now.
Hi, what do you have?
He still hovers in.
Do you want to say anything to everybody? What do you want to say? What's this?
Dino.
Oh, it's a dino. Oh, he's got dino. A dino. That's weird. I say that because he's obsessed with dinosaurs. Here, thanks. I'll see him soon. I didn't know he was coming today. Bye-bye. See you soon.
Well, it doesn't look like we've got time for Jerry today. Hey, thanks. That's our show, everybody.
Let's spend time with Van moment. It's brought to you by the rest of the show. All right. Let's see. So anyway, that guy died. Now we don't know what they're going to do. Oh, he had a private bedroom in this place. Holy crap.
Well, I mean, he would have had to, right?
I guess so.
You mean that was just for him, like to get some sleep? Without
I guess so.
39 wives.
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, at that age, you know, you're probably not. I don't know. You guys still making the babies? Maybe you are. I don't know what you do. How old are his wives? We don't know that. Anyway, he is going to. He'll be missed by his. I hope they had money. You know, it's a lot of people. I hope you had money.
At
to
some
like,
point, those 39 wives have to start taking care of each other, right? Like.
Brian's still on that whole how are they all going to satisfy themselves sexually.
That's right, exactly.
Yeah, where's Batman now is what I'd say.
Right,
exactly. All right, there's a petition going out right now. I like this a lot. Literally a petition urging Jeff Bezos, former CEO and current founder of Amazon. He's not CEO anymore. Do you know that? They got a new guy. Do you know that?
Yeah, we talked about it with Tom a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, right. I never remember his name, but
it's not as memorable as Bezos.
Yep. I think his name translated means you have to go to talk to Congress all the time. I don't have to do that anymore.
Right. Yes, exactly.
But anyway, a petition is now urging Jeff Bezos to buy and eat the Mona Lisa. And there are a lot of signatures on this thing. So this is a petition that they want him to eat it. And it's gotten what this article calls hundreds of signatures. I'm not sure I'd call that a lot, but not in the internet time we're living in. Anyway, nobody has eaten the Mona Lisa, and we feel Jeff Bezos needs to take a stand and make this happen, says the petition. Went up a year ago on change.org and has gained hundreds of signers. Thursday reads?
Batman would eat the Mona Lisa.
Batman would totally eat the Mona Lisa. I mean, it does seem like an Elon Musk thing, but also I think somebody said,
if you were to ask me which internet celebrity would eat the Mona Lisa, would buy and eat the Mona Lisa, it'd be Shkreli.
Does he have enough money though?
Martin Shkreli.
He doesn't have enough money. He got nothing.
I don't know if he does anymore. He did it one time.
Yeah, but he didn't have
Instead
billions.
Of buying that Wu-Tang Clan album, he could have bought the Mona Lisa.
Because my guess is you're going to pay. If you could buy the Mona Lisa, you're going to pay multiple billions.
Yeah. Exactly.
So I don't think Shkreli was ever in the running. But
they should just make one out of peptide cake and make him eat that one.
There you go. A peptide cake. Where
peptide
you got
cake.
A telephone in Data's chest or whatever.
That's right. Exactly.
I remember that. It is currently in the Louvre in Paris and is owned by the French government, so you'd have to fight them for it, I suppose. I think he took the top slot again. Over.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he's now richest man again. Him and Elon Musk keep going back and forth for some reason. He also made news recently for not only being worth $200 billion, but having a plan to take his 11-minute trip to space in the Blue Origin's first crew flight scheduled for July 20th, which is a lot sooner than you think. And they got one guy going with him who won the auction to go. He had he has to pay $28 million just to go up there for 10 minutes. If you had the money and $28 million meant nothing to you, would you? I mean,
it'd have to be longer than 11 minutes. If I'm paying that much, I want to go to the space station. I want to go to the ISS.
Well, I don't think they have any way to do that yet, or do they? Well, I guess they do because take people up there.
Not with this rocket. No.
Right. So if I said to you, though, okay, so let's say I'm Elon Musk or I'm Jeff Bezos. I come to you.
Sure.
And I say, Brian, we can get you on this flight to 10 minutes in space. You are currently worth $2 billion.
Okay.
We'd just like you to take a measly $28 million from that.
I'm worth $2 billion, you say?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd do it.
You do it for that. You do it for that because that's at that point, right?
It's
like
nothing. It's all relative based on the and it's $2.8 million, right? It's not $28 million.
Oh, I thought it was $28 million. Did I have that wrong?
No, $2.8 million.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. No, I totally do that for $2.8 million.
It's also going to charity. That's important to note. That money's not being.
What? All right. What thing? What collectible that you have, perhaps right around you or in another room? What collectible would you reluctantly trade for an 11-minute trip to space?
Would it have to be one I really like, or can it just be?
That's the word reluctant, because it can't just be. Well, yeah, I'd give my my solar powered Stitch bobber, you know, I'd say, you know, that'd be too easy. But it's got to be something you'd be like, oh, it'd be so hard to part with it, but I would do it to go up in space for.
I don't know. Probably that fist and gun thing. The what's his name made Andrew made for.
Because that is one of a kind.
Yeah, probably that. I love that thing. I'll never let that go. So yes, I think that would be the one I would trade. I mean, if I had to reluctantly do it, I'd probably do that. What would you? What would you give? We both look back at all of our shite.
Yeah.
Look at all this. What would I send?
I swear I would not trade the Tempest machine. That's a no. How
about the Vectrix?
I'd do the Vectrix. That's good. That's because that would be. I'd struggle.
Okay.
With that,
I would too. Yeah. If I had one, I would. I would struggle with that. That would be hard. I would love to get a Vectrix. I'm seeing them online. Good ones. If they're in good condition with the controllers and like working condition, they're like $2,000. If they're broken, they're like $600.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one still plays and I've got a bunch of cartridges and I can still play it. Have I played it in the last year? No, I have not played it in the last year.
How many times have you played it? You probably played it when you first got it a little bit.
I played it a lot when I first got it. Played every cartridge, but mostly Star Castle because I love Star Castle.
Star Castle's so great.
That is the game. That's the game that's made for the Vectrex. Yeah. I mean, come on. It's like it has to be.
I put a lot of quarters in Star Castle.
After that first couple weeks... Since then, like if we say since then, how much have I played it? Maybe 3 times since that first initial week.
Well, this is what we do with our collectibles. We put them down, we let them collect dust, but we have them. You know, we have them.
Yeah.
That
all right,
arcade.
So Fox News has the article wrong, by the way. So it is $28 million, but this article we have says the highest bid to join Bezos on the short flight is $2.8 million.
Oh, so they screwed up.
But apparently it is 28. Yes. Okay. So Fox News getting it wrong.
Yeah, weird.
Usually the most accurate of the news sources.
Well, I'm told they're fair and balanced. That's what I've heard.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, 28
so
million.
Thank you for all of you who, in all caps, said 28 million. Thank you, all of you.
Well, I'm just glad to know I wasn't going crazy because I swore I read that somewhere, but I guess so.
Yeah.
So, what was I going to say? Well, it all goes to charity, so that's cool. So that's a nice side of it. But 10 minutes in space is, I don't know, I think I'd rather have 10 minutes in...
Heaven.
What was that called? 7 minutes in
heaven? 7 minutes in heaven, yeah. The closet game, yeah.
I don't know that I ever got to participate in that. I know other people I knew did, but I never got to be, never got to make out with somebody.
I did once, and we basically chuckled and did nothing for 7 minutes.
Oh, man.
I know. And it, you know.
Just
I kind of regret it. It was like, here's an opportunity for my young wife to you know, to have a great story. But no.
But you were a nice guy and you weren't like going to be all grody.
I
guess.
Yeah.
That's why I think I wouldn't have done well either. I don't think I would have.
Yeah. What would Batman have done in 7 minutes in heaven?
I mean, according to DC, nothing. He wouldn't have done anything.
That's right.
He just would have said, my parents.
Martha.
Why'd you say that name? Yeah, that's all it would be. All right. Oh, I'm looking at Star Castle's Wikipedia page and getting all like nostalgic.
Oh, that game is so great.
It is great. It was one of my favorite arcade games ever. And when it came to the Vectrex, I was like, well, of course it is. Because nobody's doing Vector at home.
Right, exactly. Ugh. Like this has there's an Asteroids clone on there. There's like a
it's like a Battle Zone.
Of course, Lunar Lander. There's a great Lunar Lander version on there.
Yeah, isn't there like a Battle Zone type game?
There probably is one for it, but I don't know if I have a Battle Zone game for that thing.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm setting up a so I still have stuff set up from all the computers I had to get out, to redeploy.
Yeah.
Because there are still quite a few that have to be redeployed, and there's five that that are still either unsold from eBay or have come back or have gotten since. Mm. So I still have a few more to get out. But once that stuff is out of there, then that's where all the video game stuff, the cover cave that I built with Mark Spagnuolo, the Vectrex, all that stuff is gonna go. And
that's awesome.
After talking with Schleicher yesterday.
No.
And a listener named Ken who helped me find it. I picked up Marvel Pinball.
You found one?
One up. I found one.
Oh my gosh.
A guy named Ken found it online for me, and same price as buying it new, and it was new, still mint in box, the outer box and the inner box still sealed. Mm. Set it up last night. It's sitting over there. Marvel Pinball.
Cool. And, look at you with your little arcade. You get some.
It's so freaking fun.
You get like a whiskey bar next to it. You're set for life. You're good.
I think so. Well, it's going like all that's in the poker table area. So like there's the corner with all the comics and all the comic stuff, and then right next to it is going to be the arcade. I might move Tempest over there.
That's great.
Yeah.
You should move Tempest. Well, it's a pretty good background item too. But yeah,
I get it is a good background item, but it's
I get you.
Makes sense to have it all in the same place, right?
I get you. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Justin will be here. Got a hot new project I think we're all going to want to hear about. And I'm excited to hear about it. Oh. So we're going to do that in a minute. Before that, though, we got to play some music. So do you have some music?
Sure. And this is a band that I love, and I'm so glad we finally get to play them. This is a band that I heard about years ago, and I think one of their albums got recommended to me. Well, now, thanks to Dead Oceans and Grandstand Media, I'm playing a Japanese breakfast song for you. Now, Japanese breakfast just got some love from E3 because they're doing the soundtrack to the new game Sable, which comes out September 23rd on Xbox and PC.
Demo coming to PC soon, so you'll be able to hear some of that and check that out, I think, in a week or two or something. They're going to have an early demo of that thing. So
cool.
Yeah.
Cool. So this the band Japanese Breakfast does the soundtrack to that. A couple months ago, they released the album Jubilee, and we've got permission to play their song Be Sweet from this album. By the way, The Sims 4 Cottage Living also comes out soon.
Wow.
And features a version of the song you're about to hear, but redone in Simlish.
Oh, so, no way. Awesome. Yes.
Awesome. That's great.
So so there you go. There's that as well. Here's the band Japanese Breakfast with the song Be Sweet from their album Jubilee.
dress right. We don't talk loud enough. Our hair is a mess. We have a bad attitude. We don't eat right. Our face breaks out and we look like yesterday's pizza. Our breath could stop a train, and our personality is so boring it resembles oatmeal.
Too expensive, the dog has to die.
Man who can catch fly with chopstick, accomplish anything. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, welcome back to the program. That song again
is Be Sweet by the band Japanese Breakfast. And great song. Go listen to the Simlish version that just got revealed on the trailer for The Sims 4 Cottage Living.
Very cool. I like
which I'm guessing is there Animal Crossing, right? Is it Cottage Living?
Yeah,
there?
I think so. Yes, I'm gonna say yes to that. There was a whole bunch of indie stuff this week, then one of them was that, and it looked good.
Yeah,
I like all that kind of stuff, so I'm super into the indie scene.
Yeah, how could you not?
How could we not? Indeed, let's get right to it here, folks. I'm gonna play this.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
As you can hear and tell, Justin Robert Young joining us all the way from Austin, Texas. I don't know why I said
right
Houston.
State.
Yeah, right state. Wrong.
About 3.5 hours south.
Yeah. A little hotter, too, right? A little hotter there. Than
more humid. Down there. And it's a little humid up here, but down there, and I'm from South Florida, where it is no slouch in terms of humidity. It literally is sandwiched between an ocean and a swamp. So yeah. there's a lot of humidity in South Florida, and I've never experienced anything as humid as Houston.
Wow. Oh, wow. Well, and I've been in Houston. I remember it being pretty humid, but I don't remember being that humid. I mean, I think the humidity has served you well your entire life, because you've got, like, you know, golden apple skin, and the rest of us look like garbage. Mm-hmm. So humidity, good for the skin, is my
I'm a very oily man, though. You know, it was something that was foretold to me as but a youth, that all my other family members were like, look, you're going to really pay for it in high school. Mm. Like, there's no way in middle school, there's no other way to do it. You're just going to get big, ugly acne. Everybody's had it. It's never pretty. You're never going to be the belle of the ball for your middle school and high school years. But understand this, that's just the down payment for the fact that, you know, you're going to be okay.
Sure.
Like decades later,
yeah,
it's going to pay off the fact that you are an endless font of grease.
Yeah, you'll be a moisturized individual. Did anyone ever say this to you in high school? I'm going to play a clip here. Did anyone ever say these words?
We can't date. You're too oily.
That ever happened to you? No, maybe.
I'm sure it was said. That's an internal monologue, I'm sure, with many of the young, comely lasses that I had eyes for, that they would maybe think about it before, you know, coming close enough to see a sheen on my skin that upon a fluorescent light glancing it would blind them and they would fall down.
You had me at sheen. All right. Well, let's dive in today. Real quick, though. Since we were just kind of taking everybody's opinion earlier on whether or not they would, or what they would do in a 7 seconds in heaven scenario, Brian was in one, didn't do anything, just laughed. I never had the opportunity. Have you ever been privy to a 7 seconds in heaven or 7 minutes?
I believe 7 minutes.
Seven
7 seconds in heaven was my first sexual experience. The 7 minutes in heaven. I can't remember off the top of my head if we ever played that game in particular. But I, not unlike you two, was a bit of a you know, goody two shoes.
Yeah, I just felt like, okay, look, if the girl was like super, yeah, let's go, then I'd be all right. But I just never felt like I could be the one that was like gonna assume anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just felt
I always felt that I wasn't like that was a problem, that and if we'll get a little bit deep here, you know, that was a kind of a problem with the fact that I didn't really have a relationship with my father past, you know, my very early teens.
Yeah.
And I was like, ah, dude, is that like what a dad would teach you? Is like when it's time to go, when it's not, you know. And then the world evolved to where every you know, possible you know, situation is something that is reviewed you know, now through our modern historical lens. And I became very excited that I was not particularly sexually aggressive either in my youth or in my 20s.
I have to say that sort of stuff that I used to wonder anyway if I was ever doing it right back in the day, like that, just that kind of emotional stuff. And then later now I feel better about that. And again, I don't know if it was upbringing or I don't know what it was, but I just felt like, well, you know, you want to make out, I would wait for them to say that, you know, like I didn't want to be the one like, hey, speaking to oily teenagers, like I didn't want to do that. I wasn't that guy. Well, anyway, so there you have it. Let's move on to bigger, brighter and cooler things going on. You've apparently got some massive project that you are super involved with from a writing standpoint and creation standpoint, and I'm excited to hear about it. So why don't you lay it on us and tell us what it is?
For the last 7 months, I've been working in secret on a project. And I haven't wanted to talk about it because, you know, as you guys know, as creators, everybody creates differently. And sometimes you gain excitement from momentum and your community getting excited about something, and you're sharing every little piece of it. And we've done that a lot in stuff that we've done or I've done personally. And other times, getting a little bit of that credit early on kind of saps your motivation, you know, because you feel like you've kind of done it already. You've sort of speed run the project without actually doing anything. And so I decided I was going to try and do something secretly, and I was going to try and do something with Brian Brushwood, my co-host on Night Attack and Weird Things and so many other stuff. And it's called World's Greatest Con. And I will say it's probably the best thing I've ever done.
Oh, geez. Wow. High praise.
I'm really, 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 really proud of it.
Now, is this all about Scott Con or James Con, or is that the spoiler?
It's actually about Genghis and Kubla.
Oh, wow. All right. Way back then.
No, this is about it's a 4-episode series where Brian tells the story of an audacious con by the Allies during World War II to try and hoax Hitler. So we're starting with our stakes really manageable.
Wow. Yeah.
You know?
Wow.
So yeah, you will hear whether or not Hitler himself will be conned by this particularly audacious plan. But it's not simply just one of those podcasts where people are just regurgitating Wikipedia, or even worse, one of those totally false, stupid shows where it's just a bunch of relatable millennials asking each other really dumb questions so they can read Wikipedia to each other. This is something that is very personal to Brian. Mm. And really every episode, what we want to do is kind of answer a little piece of this particular question, which is, why do cons work? There's a lot of shame that goes into cons and scams, and one of the most fascinating things that we've seen since we released the teaser and episode one is the opening, the 6 minutes, is all about Brian admitting the time that he got sold bogus speakers in a parking lot, and how he felt, you know, kind of ashamed about it. Now for him, it's really like the origin story. That's his, Brian Brushwood's like falling into the pit of bats and becoming Batman because he has dedicated his life to cons and scams. And to this day is traumatized by the idea that even waiting in a line at a Burger King is something that is scamming him out of his time. And he needs to figure out a way to outsmart it.
Wow.
But for a lot of people, we've heard a feedback that like, they admit to us for the first time ever to anybody that they got with something like this, because there is shame involved and there shouldn't be. as the tagline for the podcast says, cons don't fool us because we're stupid. They fool us because we're human. And what we do in each and every episode is kind of explain the humanity behind it. What elements of ourself are being manipulated by these schemes, and how do they manifest themselves?
That's interesting. So it's easy for us to, you know, I realize this isn't about Hitler, but it's easy for us to see like an old person who gets a phone call that says, we're with the IRS and we need your credit card. And, you know, speaking of scams, like a common one is to go after the olds and try to fool them,
well,
into whatever.
But even then, but like, what is that really attacking?
Right.
If you're going after old people, what are you really attacking? You're really attacking the fact that that old person is afraid that they screwed something up.
Right.
You're playing off that shame. You're playing off the idea that they've been caught, and that pokes into these very deep human motivations of mental acuity and frailty and death and life and legacy and humiliation. Like, there's so many powerful things that go into just that one moment. And as we go through in the series, we talk, you know, about how they are really the linchpins up, and including to the fact that anybody who's gotten God on one of those speaker scams is being put in the exact same position that our main characters want to put Hitler in to turn the tide in World War II.
Does it? I mean, obviously I'm going to have to listen to the series and get all the info I can, but,
sure. Yeah.
Was there precedent?
I sent it to you like a couple weeks ago.
Was there? No, that's true. And I haven't done it yet, but would you, I mean, look, you caught me at a busy time. I got to get a Kickstarter out the door, and I have no time for anything right now. But my question is, like, is there historical precedence before this for this level of a scam? Meaning, like, had it worked on, I don't know, other, you know, Caesar the Fourth, because he got.
Well, I mean, technically what they try to do in this scam is a Trojan horse, which famously was one of the greatest, you know, cons of all time, to exploit the bravado of the free city of Troy by the Grecian army to get their battalion inside the walls during a years long siege. So, you know, we tie a lot of that together in the first episode. The second episode, though, both of which are available right now at greatestconpodcast.com. You can find it on all podcast platforms. If you can't find it on the podcast platform of your choice, please let me know. Hit me up, Justin R. Young. We are working to make sure that they get listed everywhere. Some platforms update a little bit faster than others. But the second episode is something that I think you're really, really, really going to enjoy, Scott, where Brian talks about the similarities between writing a con and writing game, video game specifically.
Oh, interesting. Because, you know what? That's funny. My daughter took a class in this in her university video game department thing she was in, where this probably touches on it, but the whole concept was you're designing tricks. Like most of gaming is a trick of the mind, of the eye, of the ear, of the whatever, and really what's happening underneath is some basic math, but on the front of it, they're making you feel heroic, or they're giving you a sense of accomplishment or failure that isn't actually there, and that's a super interesting sideline to gaming in general, and it sounds like I'd love that episode.
You absolutely will, and there's more to it even there. It's easily the most personal and raw episode of the season, as it kind of gets into Brian's relationship with his brother who passed away while we were recording all this, and there's a lot of stuff that he unpacks. This is the most raw and vulnerable that you have ever heard, Brian. It was the most nerve-wracking that I've ever been working on anything, because not only is the subject matter so weighty, but also, you know, it was up to me once, you know, Brian recorded all this stuff to try and do right by somebody that was loved by so many, and I loved, and Jay was a you know, somebody that I have had great affection for, and knowing his family and everybody that, you know, loved him the most, you don't want to do anything that's exploitative, but you also want to make a good show, something that's worthy, that people would look at as great art. Because I think that considering all the stuff that, you know, Jay, who was a veteran of the video game industry for over a decade, would want good art in his name. And, yeah. And I think we nailed it, but I will leave it up to you guys to tell me whether or not we did at greatestconpodcast.com.
Yeah. Everybody should go check it out. I'm pretty excited to listen to it. And I did not know about that focus on episode 2, which is super cool. And I didn't know you were recording this or working on this as far back as when he passed. Like, this isn't an overnight 2-week job you're doing here. This sounds like you guys have been working on it for a long time.
We have, you know, this was something that I, last year, amongst all the craziness of the pandemic, once I had finished up with Raise the Dead season 2, 1964, I really wanted to, I loved the production side of it, and I wanted to do more on the production side. And so I've turned a lot of my attention over the past several months to Dog and Pony Show Audio, my production company, where I worked with a lot of really cool freelancers throughout a lot of these projects. And it is a truly collaborative effort by the end of it. And when I went to Brian and I was like, hey, what do you think about this idea? He was immediately into it. But what the final product is very much Brian. Mm. Like, I wanted to make something that was just, you know, unquestionably Brian Brushwood, and maybe not the guy that you know from Night Attack, and not the guy that you know from The Modern Rogue, and not the guy that you know from Weird Things or when you've seen us at Nerdtacular or anything, but maybe more like the guy that you ran into at the bar at Nerdtacular. Mm-hmm. Maybe more like the kind of person that you know, not everybody kind of gets to see if he's kind of on. And I genuinely believe that we were able to capture an element of that, which is, you know, you put that on top of a fascinating story. I don't know. I really can't tell you guys how proud I am of it. I very rarely like to talk about my own projects in these kinds of words, so that should tell you exactly how much it means to me. And let me just say right now, we're on the verge of some really cool charts. So over the next 48 hours, if you can find it in your heart to subscribe on the podcatcher of your choice, and then also Apple Podcasts, even if it's not the podcatcher of your choice, it would be greatly, greatly, greatly appreciated, because this is something that I think was, you know, is special.
Well, I'm glad now, all these years later, that I ripped them off for those speakers in that parking lot. I feel way better about
that. Finally, that's right. Finally, something.
I mean,
coming
at the time,
coming,
I felt kind of bad right after, Brian, like a little sad about what I had done.
Sure,
sure. I feel like, you know,
you're
the end result,
now, though, right?
Yeah, it's fine now. Yeah. I mean, I'm still selling them, but they're better than they were back then. Well, this is great. Please do check it out, everybody. Again, it is worldsgreatestconpodcast.com. Do I have that right?
Just Greatest Con.
Greatest Con Podcast.
Oh, there you go. Greatest Con Podcast. There you go.
And that gets you to it. But of course, you can search on all podcast players of your choice, and also Apple, please. Also Apple as well. Even if you hate it, I know everybody hates Apple. Please just help us.
Well, I kind of like Apple. Well, I guess I don't use them for podcasts, but I get your point. They have their listing, and the way they do stuff is really does matter. So if you guys don't mind.
It just matters for a bunch of dumb reasons that nobody needs to agree with, but everybody should please help me out because it's free. Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, any other talking points that are kind of there. Oh, also, yeah, hit me up on Twitter if you got by that speaker scam.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because it has blown my mind how many people want to talk about it, like, now. And it just shows you these things that happen underneath this layer of society that we kind of protect because it's painful.
Yeah.
You know, you feel dumb that you got caught, but you really didn't. You know, you really, like these are, and as we unpack in kind of the first 6 minutes of the show. So if you just want to get a sense of it, the first 6 minutes of the show is the way to go. You can do that. And also, if you go to the Modern Rogue YouTube channel, the most recent episode is Brian and his co-host Jason Murphy listening to the first 6 minutes. Big shout out to Jack Resider of Darknet Diaries that actually ran our full first episode in his feed.
Oh, no way. I love that show. I guess I'm behind because I didn't know it played there. Oh, man. That's awesome. That's where I first heard.
It just went up tonight. So, okay. You probably were just getting up and working on the show. But
he's great.
You can listen to it. Maybe if Jack Resider sends it to you, you'll listen to it.
Yeah, maybe I will if it's that.
that's the catalyst.
This is fancy. That's where I heard that Xbox scam thing, or not scam, but that hack deal.
Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, that show is great. And you know, if you want a sense of the kind of show that it is, and you haven't listened to anything else that I've done, like Raise the Dead, really what we're going for here is a mixture of the DNA of Darknet Diaries, Hardcore History, Cocaine and Rhinestones, and You Must Remember This. If you like any of those were very much the kind of structural influences. And the one thing that I would say that's at the center of all of them is authenticity. You love all of those people that are telling those stories. Even if the stories aren't the best, you really want to spend time with that voice and that personality and that selection of topics. And that's what we wanted to kind of accomplish and create another entrant into that genre.
Well, very nice. Everybody go check it out. Again, find it everywhere. And if you can, get it on Apple and just to get it. If you have
everywhere
an iPhone.
Everywhere you want to go, but then also Apple.
Yeah, just pull it on. Just pull a sub.
That's fine. That's good. Yeah. Maybe do it a few other places just for laughs. But also get it on Pocket Cast, get it on Castro, get it on Overcast. But then after that, just take a little
sidestep over to iTunes.
I mean, it's why
walking on over to Apple Podcasts and just give it a little follow.
There's a reason I keep Apple Podcasts on my phone. I don't use it actively. I use Pocket Cast, but I will use it for this when someone's like, we need to get up in the rankings. I'm like, all right, sweet, I'll go sub to you. Doesn't hurt you at all to go do it, so go do it. All right, Justin right Robert now. Young, and of course, all the regular stuff happening all the time on your Twitch channel and the other podcasts and everything else. Anything else you want to mention before we go?
No, I love all of you.
Oh, that's
Thank
a
you.
Sweet
Thank
sentiment.
Supporting this stuff. This is a really important one. So if the Tadpool community could help us, push us kind of up the charts, would it make my heart sing? Because I do think that this is an important one.
Well, I know that they will have a fantastic time, and I hope to see it shoot through the charts to the point that it's almost orgasmic in nature. We'll talk to you next time. I don't know why I brought that up that way. But,
wow, I don't know either, but good on you.
Going places today. All right, Brian, that concludes today's programming. Now, look, here's the deal. You leave when this weekend? You're gone Friday?
Thursday around noon. So I don't have it in my books that we're doing a Thursday show. I haven't picked any music for a Thursday show.
I think for the sake of your good time weekend family reunion, we just say Thursday's not happening.
I think we say it for the reason that there's some freelance I have to get done that I'm going to be doing Thursday morning instead of doing
perfectly
the show.
Good reason. Yeah, totally fine. So that's okay. So that's what I wanted to get to. Everybody, we've got a bit of a scheduling thing this week. So Brian will not be here Thursday. That also
start
means
the pod fading chant. Just do it.
Yeah, it also means PM won't happen. But I'll come up with some like game streams or something else just to fill your time for those live folks if you guys want to be around. What else? Tonight, The Boop Show, 3:30 Mountain. Me and Brian Dunaway talking indie titles. Very excited. Got a lot to talk about from E3, cool. Plus some games we played ourselves. And the Nintendo things today. I don't know if I'm doing a live thing because they're being weird about it.
I think they've already started it, haven't they?
They probably have, and I'm already too late to even go. Because that was an Eastern time start, right? I can't remember.
Right.
Which is fine. I'll catch up on that and we'll see what's going on. And then tomorrow, normal show, though. We'll be here. We got this. We're good. Normal show Wednesday. Co-hosting with Sarah on DTNS on Wednesday without Tom. Tom is back, but he'll be head deep into a project. So he's asked that me and Sarah host tomorrow. So that'll happen. Lots to do this week. So don't stress about us not being here Thursday is what I'm saying. There's plenty of content. Cool. Okay. Oh, that probably means you're not doing Coverville this week, right?
No Coverville this week. No Guess the Connection this week. I'm just taking a well-needed week off.
I think you should take it. I think that's awesome. And I support it fully. Also, Tally would like me to mention Mad Max. So there, I've done it.
No. She'd also like to say F.E.A.
Yeah, always. F.E.A.
F.E.A.
Did EA do anything this week? They really didn't, did they? I guess they didn't do a... They didn't do their own event, now that I think about it. They showed off stuff in other events, but not their own. That's anyway, right. I guess FEA.
Apparently there's a new Metroid game. Ooh.
We knew that already, though, but is it is it coming? Did we get a date? Because that was announced like 2 years ago.
Was it? Really? Was it? Okay.
Let's see. I'm trying to find my latest news feed, and I can't find it. I'll follow up on that in a minute. Yeah, cool. They've been talking about that one for a while. I assume 4 will end up being... No, they're calling it Metroid Prime 4. They call it Metroid Dread. Is that what it's called?
Metroid Dread.
October, really? Really? Well, that's crazy.
There you go.
All right. Well, Mario Golf's all I care about at the moment. That comes out.
I know. What is that? That's that's the weekend of my ride. So basically after.
Yeah, 22nd. After you're done, you plop Mario down Golf on the couch, Brian. You pull up your Switch.
Yeah.
And you play golf.
Undock my Switch.
Yeah, you undock your Switch. Good luck to you on that. All right. A new Wario game announced? Ooh, I like Wario. He's a dick.
Oh, is it a Wario? Is it one of those weird multi-game bizarreness Wario games?
It must be.
I'd love that.
Yeah, I'd play that.
WarioWare. That's right, WarioWare.
Oh, here it is. Metroid Dread. What an odd name. Oh, it is a WarioWare game.
Oh, good.
Brian, that's awesome.
For the Switch?
Yeah.
For the Switch.
For the Switch. Which means they got to make it for the light, which means they're not going to make it dumb motion control crap. It's just going to be a good old-fashioned D-pad.
Oh, right. It can't be. Yeah. No kidding.
I'm excited. That'll be great. Good. It's called WarioWare Get It Together. And it will come to the Switch sometime in September. Oh, the 10th. Ooh.
That's the blue cat.
I'm very excited. All right. That's it for the show. We're going to go and remind you that we are supported and really buoyed up by your support at at patreon.com. Yeah, buoyed. What is it? Patreon.com/TMS. And it means a great deal. Thank you to everybody who supports us. I'm serious about this. We can't do it without you. So please continue to. And for those who haven't, consider it. It's super freaking cheap. It's dirt cheap. It's ridiculous. It's almost a crime
It's almost a crime how cheap we made it. Take advantage of our crime.
You know, it's not even almost a crime. It's a straight up felony.
You're really taking money out of your own pockets if you're not supporting us on
there
Patreon.
There you go.
That's how easy it is.
Perfectly said. So anyway, please do that. Consider it. It's over at patreon.com/TMS. Everything else is at frogpants.com/TMS. And if you'd like to email us your thoughts, feelings, and whatevers, send those to themorningstream@gmail.com. All right, that's going to do it for today. Brian, let's go out with a song again, if you don't mind.
Boy, are we going out with a song. Chuck wrote in and said, "As tangential as this show is, the journey is worth it. During the 2020 experience," I like that. Let's call it the experience.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. The snappening. My wife discovered RuPaul's Drag Race, something I never would have watched, but I wanted to spend time together, so I sat through it. The flamboyant characters and the reality TV competition annoys me. But then we learn a little more of each character. Some have the most tragic stories. And then you learn how talented all of these people are. Yes, the desire to make the most fascinating transformation, then to entertain, is amazing. I became hooked on this show. We've needed almost every streaming service to watch the various seasons. It has become part of the adventure. One of the absolute standouts is Trixie Mattel. She is an actual talent, not just a drag queen lip syncing. You must check it out. It is absolutely fascinating. Please choose something, whether it's a cover or some of her original music. My wife would be thrilled. Then Chuck says, "I love you, Donna. I'm glad we're getting old together. We're on vacation renting a motorhome and exploring Central Oregon in the area the Resnish Ranch used to be. When I was in high school, I was recruited by them at their height of activity, but that's a story for another day. Thank you for your honest and uplifting entertainment." Signed, Chuck. Very cool. Yeah, I've never watched an episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, but I know a lot of people who love it. My cousin Allison is a massive fan of the show and has even met several of the contestants, the performers that are on there. So
yeah, it seems like it's a big bigger than it would seem to be. Like it's broader, yes, it's got a broader reach.
It is
like the cake, really, you know what it reminds me of, is like the Cake Bake Off thing. Mm-hmm. But obviously a very different show, but like that's, there's some heart to it and some stuff that you don't expect out of a competition show.
Totally. Because on the surface you think it's going to be this one thing. Right. And as you watch it, apparently it's so much more than that, which, all right. So Trixie Mattel released an album, this year called Full Coverage, actually an EP, Full Coverage Volume 1. Of course, I'm always excited to see stuff like this because it means it's a bunch of covers. It's exactly what it is. On there are some great covers of things like, Jackson and, oh, what else is on there that I saw? I bought and downloaded the whole album, Believe by Cher, Video Games by Lana Del Rey. But I'm settling on this one, which is a cover of the song by the Violent Femmes about something else that Batman probably wouldn't do. Here is Trixie Mattel and Blister in the Sun.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for watching, listening, and hanging out with us. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm high as a kite, I just might stop to check you out. When I'm a-walking, I scrub my stuff, and I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite, I just might stop to check you out. Body and beats, I stain my sheets, I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end, she is starting to cry. When I'm a-walking, I scrub my stuff, and I'm so strung out. I'm high as a kite, I just might stop to check you out. Let me go on, like a blister in the sun. Let me go on, big hands, I know you're the one.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I could feel my butt getting sore already.
Oh, John Goodman.
Yeah.